fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you like what we do here on Skiba News Nation, please like and subscribe. And also share with others so we can grow the biggest truth-seeking community on the internet. Huge shout out to all of our Patreons out there. If you like bonus content, you want some extra Skiba News Nation stuff, please go to patreon.com/Skiba News Nation.
Welcome to Skiba News Nation, bringing you unfiltered views, news, interviews, discussions, and more. And now, here's your host, Jeremiah Skiba, award-winning musician and son of Rob Skiba.
With the son of the legendary Rob Skiba. Jeremiah Skiba, what's up?
With my great and insightful co-host, Mr. Jake Graham.
Dude, someone should do a conspiracy news. It would be 10 times better than what you see on television.
It's like I don't even want to wake up.
He's on a quest for truth.
Hey, Skiba News Nation family. Today we have a very special guest, and I'm so honored to have a fellow truth seeker on the show. And his name is Jacob Israel. And I just want to welcome him to Skiba News Nation. It's an honor to have you. And I've heard so many good things about you. And we had so many cool conversations the other day. And can't wait to talk about things here.
Yeah, I'm really grateful. You know, I knew of your dad. You know, I've been doing this since, 2008? So I've been on here a long time. And I think all the things that started with, you know, we'll say our generation now is, you know, clearly being kind of handed off and brought up by you and yours, which is really exciting to see. And it's kind of the coming together, if you will. And so I'm happy to be here. I didn't know anything really about you until I got an email, and it just made me happy. If people, you know, who knew me and watched me were recommending you to me, that says a lot, because I know the kind of people that watch me, and I know that, you know, my heart and what my heart is for. So, you know, the day today is, it's hard to find serious, sincere people. And my search continues. Hence, I'm here. Thank you for having me on. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm happy to be here with you, Jake, Opa, and Jeremiah. And I can't wait to see what we got to talk about.
Cool, man. Yeah, we can just go off the rails if we want. But speaking of rails, I mean, you predicted, or you were talking about the railroad the other day, the high-speed rail chase, and that blew my mind, because I saw that right before you brought it up, and it was like you kind of foresaw that, and that's crazy. It's awesome.
Well, you know,
it's awesome that there was a crash.
Yeah, I don't know. I share things all the time. I tell people on the channel that I'm just kind of like a big meatball. There's not much to me. You know, I don't believe in titles and everything else. You know, that's how I got to doing what I was doing here is, you know, God's kind of brought me from, shoot, I was a writer for WWE at one point between 99 2001. Then I was the writer for like the second largest. Well, now it's probably the largest Christian television network in the world, Daystar Television Network. Both places fired me, but God placed me in both places where I was the head writer here, and then started selling mattresses because I knew that, you know, I would be able to do now what God was training me up to do. So I started my YouTube channel back in 2008, my website, jacobisrael.com. I'm an author. I have a novel. On Amazon. It's got like 1,100 five-star reviews. A great book written for the day that we're in. So I've been doing this a long time and a lot's changed, you know, and today is like the epic finale, Yeah. So when I saw that, the train going off the rails is not a strange thing, because the way things have been moving, it just makes sense in the spiritual world that there's going to be a change of direction. So that's kind of why I threw it out there to begin with, because I was thinking of that old train crash that happened and what was it, East Palestine? Yeah. It was a terrible chemical spill. And remember how that was such a pivotal moment back in that time. And I felt like, oh, well, we haven't had one of those in a while. And I just put it out and then boom, here it is. But this is something that happens a lot. I tell people the same thing that Jesus said. He said that, you know, you can look at the weather and you can say, oh, tomorrow's going to be a good day by the way the sun is. How come you can't judge what's coming by what's happening in your social media feed, you know? So I'm a speculator. I like to look at things and I like to, I don't want to say make predictions. You know, I'm not a prophet that comes on and says, oh, the Lord tells me. I think anybody who does that really should be questioned. Yeah. But I know for one thing on my channel, it's, you know, this stuff is accurate and it's been happening for a long time. And shoot, from, you know, when Trump was supposed to win the first time, and I said, no, not gonna. He's gonna lose everything. It's gonna be like Nebuchadnezzar. The stump is gonna be cut to the ground, but the root's gonna be in the ground still for a sprout that if he returns, he returns as a king, but a humbled king who actually does God's will. And here we are, you know, many, many moons later. It's an exciting time for me to be on a show like yours.
Oh, well, wow. We're honored. Somebody had brought up to me when they were giving me like your highlight reel, because they follow your channel all the time and they love you. Oh. But they were like, you predicted speculated,
had an idea.
The shot.
I had, that was a dream that I had. It was a weird dream. Yeah. Well, I mean, you even look at the name of it, right? It was, at first it was called the coronavirus, which is the virus of the crown, the corona. It's, and it was a spiritual thing that was in the land, you know? I mean, shoot, the videos I did on that, the epic symbolism in all of it, even to what they called the, you know, when it was finally released the name of, you see how I have to tap dance around things because I have like YouTube shell shock. It's like, you got to talk in code about things, but it was really like the name. If you looked at it in Latin, you broke it up for one of these, you know, medicines, was to consume Christ before birth, which is wild. Cause you know, if you think about it, Jesus was what? He was two when the order went out to, you know, kill all the kids because they knew that the king was coming. So they decided they were going to, you know, go and just kill everybody under the age of three or something. But that was right after the census, you know, and in 2020, Donald Trump did the census. And then here we are, what ends up happening. And it's just the whole story. Listen, Elon coming out with the sink when he came out, that wasn't a sink. That was like a hand sink for washing your hands. It was a basin. Do you remember when Elon walked out onto X, you know, we're bringing the sink in? It was a picture of Pilate. It was a picture of Pilate coming in. He's going to wash his hands. He's like, well, what do you want? You know, you want Christ? Do you want peace? Do you want joy? Or do you want the revolutionary Barabbas? They both look alike. They're both named Jesus. And in fact, there was even a boxing match that Donald Trump was there between Evander Holyfield and another boxer whose name meant, you know, the conqueror of Baal. Evander Holyfield means the good man of the holy field, and he fought the conqueror of Baal. It was just so wild because he ends up, you know, it was a kind of a bad call, but he lost the fight. But I said, he lost the fight because at that point in time when they were fighting, people aren't spiritually ready. You know, even this train, you want to talk about how we're in some kind of God's matrix, if you will, a God's simulation. Even this train, it was leaving in Spain. It was leaving one place and it was going to Madrid. And the name of the place that it was leaving and Madrid, it's just very interesting. And where the train went down in Adams, it was like that's where the accident happened, in Adams, which means the first man. In scripture, Adam is the first man, but then there's Christ, that's the resurrected, you know, the reborn, the born again, second man, first man, second man in scripture. It's a big deal. So even the train had significance with the name.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Names. The name where it left meant the salting of fish. You know, where fish are salted, and it was heading towards Madrid, which is the many waters, which is a symbol of, you know, the many waters of in Revelation, the truth of God. So man is leaving a place from where it's being tested and salted, which preserves, salt is a preservative, going to the place of many waters, another train coming from Helva, which actually means the fortress of Baal, smacks into it, knocks it off course in a place called Adams, the first man. So what I'm getting at is nothing in life that happens is meaningless. And when you start to look at everything that's happening in your life, when you realize that you're like the lead character of this story, this is something that I share with you and you and you. I share this with all of you. I'm the lead character of this movie that I'm in, that God placed me in. And everything that happens, these are epic stories. I talk to you about yours, you know, the devastating tragedy and what you went through. But that's the past. We've left the place where we're salted. You know, salty. You don't want it to turn around and have a pillar of salt, tears. You know, we can't go back. We got to move forward. And the way to move forward today is, you know, with understanding that what you do to others, you're doing to yourself. You're going to reap what you sow. So yeah, the train thing was cool. I'm sorry. I have a tendency of like talking a lot. Feel free to jump in anytime.
I love it. But I always say on the show, if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it. And it looks like we're repeating a lot of things that are happening in history, right?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, it's you know, the story right now, my video that I just put out was about Andrew Tate, Sneeko and all this. And I said, I've been putting these posts out. I said, you watch, they're going to eat themselves. They're going to consume themselves. God's done with this nonsense. And this is what's happening now. I just saw videos. One person's blaming this person. The other person's blaming this person. They're all starting to sell each other out because they're starting to see the writing on the wall. You know, this is not going to be tolerated going forward. There's a reason why we had stuff thrown down our throats back in the day where, you know, children were being read to by people that were dressed like monsters and women, you know, female monsters. You know, the whole thing was weird. And there was a reason why that happened, because in scripture, what happens is God sets into the heart of the beast to turn on the harlot system. And the beast, everybody wants to make Donald Trump out to be something terrible, right? Nebuchadnezzar was a great king that God used. He didn't mess around. But like Cyrus, like Jehu, like all of them, if you cross them, you're in trouble. But ultimately, God's will is done through the people he puts in power. We were biding our time for a while, and now we're in the culmination of it, you know, for a time. This is exciting. But yeah, it's easy to predict. It's like easy to see, you know, that Donald was going to be like the savior character. I mean, the time you look at some of the posters of the Abraham Accords, he looks like he's Jesus. I mean, everything he says, he's the chosen one, he's Moses. It's all there for a reason, because this is what God's doing in the natural, so we can understand what's happening within us. So what's happening outside of us is actually what's happening within us. That's the counterfeit. Shouldn't put our faith in that. But we should understand that this is an epic reverse bizarro world image of what's happening within. Right now, it's cleanup time. Anything that's not meant to be in the house of God is being, you know, rallied and shoved off. You know, it's going to be taken away. Anything that's not meant to be in this country is going to, you see what I'm saying? It's all very, not to say that you know, that we should applaud these things. It's a horror show, but it's an outward expression of what I believe is happening within. And I know in my life that I've gotten more humble and patient through the things I've endured. Shoot, I woke up this morning and my channel was just hit again. It's just strange, you know. But where do we put our faith? Do we put our faith in the outward world? You know, how many followers did Jesus have after he, you know, told them, you got to do what I do? Meaning you got to be like me. You got to eat my flesh. You got to drink my blood. In other words, that my very essence must be your essence. And if you can't do that, hit the bricks. And that's what they do, you know. But today, Jonathan John Brees, these influencers, Tate and them, Jonathan John Brees from the book of Exodus, they were the sorcerers for Pharaoh. And when Israel was released in other canonical books, we learn that Jonathan John Brees, these sorcerers, kind of snuck in to Israel. And when Moses, who kind of looked over everything, Moses means to draw out, ironically, means to draw out. It draws you out. Moses draws you out of your nonsense, your slavery, and then you wander around until Joshua enters you in to the promised land. But to get to the promised land, man, you know, you got to do a lot of things. And we have all of these stories playing out. These influencers, Jonathan John Brees, what they did was they convinced, when Moses was up top, everybody to worship Baal. They said, hey, you know, Aaron, do this, you know, make them. So what do they got? They got all these influencers saying, you got to get a Lamborghini, you got to get this, you got to get that, got to have a lot of women. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But you do see, right? I'm not crazy. You do see a religious push now. You got the lion symbolism everywhere. You got Pope Leo, okay? Right? He means lion. That's what Leo means, lion. Ironically enough, before the Pope was picked, I put out a post like right before it was released. And I said, let it be. I said, I prayed. Let it be like the young Pope on HBO. The young Pope, his name was Lenny. Now we have Pope Leo. The young Pope was the first American Pope. Now we have the first American Pope. The young Pope was from a big city called Chicago, right? That's Pope Leo. This guy was from New York. Big city. He changed things. He's changing things. One of the first things he did was he said, okay, I just want to let you know, Mary can't get you salvation. That's what the Pope just did. There are things that are in motion, you know. It's so yeah, it's the whole story. It's being played out, and it's very exciting.
Yeah, but I know there's many, many layers to that you know, we would love to dive into. I think, you know, just talking about the synchronicities in reality, as real world events play out, we're able to see these spiritual patterns, that there's actual things that people can kind of see. Oh, wow, this represents a deeper kind of ripple in mankind. And, you know, I think it's fascinating, the parallel with Janice and Jambres, because, you know, when you study into the ancestry, you know, they're the descendants of Balaam, and Balaam, eventually his lineage being traced back to Laban. And so Laban,
that's crazy. I didn't know this. Go on.
Yeah. The Laban being the original kind of trickster, because when you read into the story of Jacob coming to get his bride, and
it's actually my story. Go on. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to blow your mind when you finish. Go.
Oh yeah. It's just, it's to me, it's always this familial battle of, it's kind of whoever's the top magician, right? And then you have the righteous Zadik, the one who's operating in the will of the Almighty, always coming to bat against the magician or the trickster.
Right.
And so it's this balancing act that happens throughout the story. But anyways, Laban, you know, he's tricking Jacob.
Jacob, yeah.
Yes. So when the man went to get the bride for Isaac, there's a whole apocryphal story of how that familial line plotted to kill him and take his stuff. And so there's like this interesting like thing where they were going to poison him. And then so it starts this narrative that that family is a tricky family.
Right.
And so he takes the wife for Isaac originally. And then later on, Jacob goes back to that same family. Mm. And so from one of the brothers descends Balaam, who is the father of Jannes and Jambres.
That's crazy.
So anyways, yeah. Yep.
No, but you know what's weird about that is, okay, so I'm Jacob. Israel is not my literal last name. Jacob is, right? But Israel was the name that I was inspired to take when I went to go work for Daystar Television Network, okay? You want to talk about God smacking you upside your head? It was like one of the biggest revelations I had was driving to work the first day. And then it wasn't long before my Achilles tendon snapped and I was working in this place that I had not known. You want to talk about Jacob leaves one place and goes to work for Laban. I was the head writer for wrestling. Jacob wrestled. I actually literally, true story, when I worked for another company called TCW, the last time I worked for...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Matt Riviera, he was in a match, and I played his therapist, Dr. Jay Cobb. And the last match for the title was against the Angel. The guy was named Angel, and I got involved in the match. And I didn't realize until I was on the plane, and because his hamstring snapped, I said, wow, this time the Angel's hamstring snapped. But you know what's strange about this is here's a Jacob that, you know, worked in wrestling, goes to work for Laban, the sheep shearer. They made money off of the flock, right? You didn't hear about Laban taking care of the flock. So no. Jacob was the shepherd of the sheep. I was the writers of the show. All right. And what happened when I was there was I put my poplar rods in the waters, made a deal. I thought I was marrying Rachel, right? I got tricked into marrying Leah, the law, who produced 10 children. But I thought when I was going to Daystar to work there, I was like, oh, it's the promised land. Took a huge cut in pay because I didn't mind. Because I was like, oh, and I sold my house and I did all this stuff. And I get there and I'm going, oh my God, God woke me up and told me this is actually even worse than WWE in a roundabout way. And the wild thing is that I end up leaving and still, you know, they didn't want me to go. So I still started working in New York while I was in Texas. And I warned them too. I warned them. I said, look, get your act together. Something's going to happen. And boom, a lot's happened to them. I created a group in WWE called The Right to Censor. Look it up. And every week they would come out because at the time when I got hired, I was coming in after Vince Russo. And they were all about jello matches, lingerie matches, demeaning women. It was all that stuff. I got in and I was like this hungry new Christian. I was around 30 years old. That's when Christ takes over. And I created this group and we slowly but surely started to take away. You couldn't use excessive violence. You couldn't swear anymore. You couldn't, you know, women had to, they couldn't, you know, you, no more jello matches, no more of this. And the ratings went through the roof. But some of the things that we said were things that I wrote. One day, the whole world is going to know how perverse you are. One day, this will be ripped away from you if you're corrupt. One day, and then boom, all the stuff that happens with Vince. It's weird, the life that I've lived. And I'm a humble guy. I just sell mattresses. I'm nothing great, nothing special. But, you know, when you serve God, you can't expect to have, you know, the crowds. You got to expect to have, you know, the opposition, because you're constantly being honed. And I didn't know that about Jannes and Jambres. Balaam is probably one of my favorite prophets. I got to be honest. I because sometimes I feel a little bit, you know, I can feel a little bit like I want to promote, you know, like, oh, I really like Elon Musk. You know, sometimes I feel like a Balaam, you know what I mean? Sometimes. So I can relate to being a Gentile prophet, you know, a guy that's like really kind of outside of the system. I'm here in Long Island. You know, I'm on, you know, on the border, like Lot was on the border of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot, which means veil, by the way. Yeah, the scriptures are awesome, man. And it's I had no idea how wise you all were in these subjects. So that's kind of cool. Sorry, I ramble.
No worries. Yeah, I'm fascinated. I just learned recently that in that scene where Moses turns his staff, or well, it's actually Aaron who before Pharaoh turned his staff into something to compete with Janus and Jambres, that the word in the Hebrew actually hints that what happened in that scene was that the staff turned not into a serpent, but into a crocodile, a sea monster.
Oh, yeah, like a Leviathan.
And so it was Aaron's staff turning into a bigger crocodile eating their crocodiles. And then you can compare the Hebrew word for the scene where Moses initially had his staff transformed. And the Hebrew word is a different Hebrew word for serpent in that scene, but a different word with Aaron's staff later on. So
yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy when you the meaning of words in scripture is so important. You know, I even think about, like, I remember when I first realized that, like, every name has meaning, and if you put them in order, like if you put Jacob's children in order, you know, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, and you go down the list, you take all the tribes, you get Reuben means behold the son, Simeon means hears, you know, so you put them all together. It's like behold the son hears, joins to give praise, to a judge wrestling, to invade and make straight and reward and exalt, whom Jehovah has added, that's Joseph, to the son of the right hand. I mean, it's like, it's crazy because that's like our story. You know, Jesus, you have Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Joseph means God has added. Once again, Jehovah has added. Mary means man's rebellion. God has added to man's rebellion, Jesus, which means Jehovah is salvation. God has added to man's rebellion, salvation. And he was a Nazarite and then separated them from the world. I love scriptures and I love the fact that everything's veiled until it's taken away, you know? And I was telling Jeremiah yesterday, and you don't even need the Bible, you know, Jacob back in the day didn't even have a Bible. You know, I mean, there was probably some pagan texts or some things, you know, Abraham, his father, knew all about the other weird gods, but he got called away like I did, you know, like I got baptized a million times, you know, it's like, I was a Christian of the Christians, you know, I would have come over to you with a big cross on my neck saying, you're going to burn if God didn't whack me upside the head and wake me up to the truth after planting me in a place that is in direct opposition to where he was taking me, that God is a God of love, that the gospel is good news, and that all things work together for the good of those that love God. You know, we can't fail. That's what I was telling you yesterday and before. We can't fail. I can't fail. You know, I can only beat myself up when I'm in hell. That's it. You know, weeping and gnashing of teeth. But guess what? We have power over the gates of hell. You know, he said that the gates of hell shall not prevail. If the gates of hell can't prevail, you have power over them. Meaning, if a gate closes you in, you can open the door and get out, you know? Or you can go to the door and let yourself back in. They can't prevail. You want to suffer? Be my guest. You know, I'd rather see you get out, though, because there's a lot of burning in there. And what is and what's the fire? The fire is the word of God, and the word of God is truth. And, you know, your hardship will move you along the way. If you can't see where you're going at night, like Israel in the wilderness, there will be some fire to guide you. It will be, oh, here's an accident. Oh, you're going to lose your job here. It'll get you back on, going to get back on the path.
Yeah. I'll say the most creative I've ever been is when I'm going through something like something tragic or a back way back when, like a breakup or whatever, that was like turning it into something like righteous anger, like putting it into something good. It's just, it's crazy how that can happen.
Right.
I think it's amazing.
Yeah. Speaking of kind of real world synchronicities, you had some kind of prediction of an assassination attempt or what happened?
Right. You're old. Yeah. So no, it was a dream where I was, I'll send you the video. It was a weird one. I was holding a coffin and it was covered in swamp moss, and I was holding a coffin and in it was Donald Trump. And I was looking up and I'm like, oh no, because I'm a fan, you know, it's like, I like Donald Trump, right? I've been in his presence. I produced him once. Well, from a distance, I did a show called Thunderbox at the Trump Taj Mahal, and he did a press junket for us, but he was also Vince's best friend. And I was Vince's head writer. And in New York in Madison Square Garden, this is the weirdest story. I took my youngest to a house show. No, my youngest brother to a house show in New York, Madison Square Garden. That means it wasn't aired. There was no cameras. And Donald Trump and Melania, they weren't married yet. They were in the front row. And there was a character who played a vampire. He was part of the brood. Nice guy. His name's David. And his shtick was he would come out and he would drink from a chalice of blood and he'd spit it up into the air. But this night, he walked straight down, got in front of Donald Trump and Melania, and drank the blood and spit it all over, so much that it got, you know, like right on Melania's white, beautiful white dress. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, somebody's getting fired. Years later, I found out that Vince put him up to it as a rib, as a gag, because you know, I learned working for WWE, they like to make jokes. You know, so yeah, so it's weird. But it's strange. I even sold Ivanka Trump.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
A pillow years ago, because I worked before I got in, I worked at a place called Relax the Back where I sold orthopedic furniture because I have these two diseases, Crohn's disease. I've had my intestines removed, terrible disease. And something called ankylosing spondylitis, which is a really bad arthritis. You're in pain. You get hunched over, which, you know, pushed me to become super athletic, eat right, take care of myself. They said I should be on disability. Don't listen. When the doctors tell you things, that's just the matrix offering you a road that you can take. You can change it. I did, you know. So I sold her a pillow, Ivanka. Ivanka Trump comes into my store, Jacob, who's known for the pillow, for the pillar, for the rock that he puts his head on. That's Christ. And I sell her a pillow. You want to talk about how God has been like, had his hand on my life? How can I not be excited? You know? What are we talking about? I don't even remember, Jake.
I was going to mention I think it was 2018, 2017. I did an interview with a Bible code searcher who does ELS, which is equal letter sequencing, like where they kind of find different like prophetic messages in the actual like Torah codes or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And he had predicted an assassination on Donald Trump before the shooting happened. And so it piqued my interest that you kind of had this like,
well, I did a whole, so the dream was he was in the coffin, but then I looked to my left and he was dancing and he was laughing and having a great old time. So I went, and this was before he lost to Biden. Remember, this was the time when they were showing the crowds and they had the circles, right? Nobody was at Biden's events and it was like massive crowds. So we were thinking Trump was going to win by a landslide. So I said, I had this dream. He's not going to win, but he's going to come back laughing and dancing like a king. I said, the whole thing's a fake thing. Don't buy into it. Don't get, you know, I had a dream about the Capitol building too. I put in a 2015 article. Very strange, where people were watching Prisoner of Azkaban at the Capitol building, like a domed building, and everybody was rushing to get in, and then the gates came down, and it was like was madness, and there was a gigantic statue like that of Nebuchadnezzar. Now here we cut to, and we see Donald Trump's Colossus. We see what happened. All of these things are happening. It's there is some credible evidence that we could be in a looped simulation, which would explain deja vu. And maybe I'm just remembering more, but I like to look at it as like, you know, God inspires us. And if you pay attention, you could say things. But I did a video about Esther, and this was before he got shot in the ear in Butler. And on the thumbnail, I had Putin holding a bowl of soup, and there was an ear in it. And the whole show was about something about an ear is coming. You're going to see something about, I didn't know it was going to be related to Trump, but I had a dream that was in that show where they met on a tarmac. So I was invited into a, weird, dreams are cool and weird. That's why I put them on X. Follow me on at JacobIsrael71. I do it all the time. If I have a dream, I write dream, dot, dot, dot. And then you will see, like if you go to my page and you hit search, just type in the word dreams come true. You'll be amazed at how many dreams that you have and I have come true that we just, we don't document. So we don't go back and see where this is all coming from. You know, so yeah, they were making some kind of a deal on some kind of a tarmac somewhere, and Hammond's ear. It was about Hammond's ear. I don't know if you know the story of Hammond. Hammond was the enemy. Esther, at the last minute, you think that the Jewish people are going to die, and then at the last minute, you know, Hammond and his brothers. Hammond sounds a lot like human because it's a picture of the carnal man. He ends up hanging on the very, you know, rack that he built for Mordecai, who was Esther's caregiver, uncle, who was a Jew, who refused to bow down and worship Hammond. You know, great story. The Book of Esther is what's happening. Even, you know, I've learned, I have a lot of people that follow, I guess, the Q stuff, that follow, that watch me. And I have respect for everybody. I don't care what you believe in. Everybody's welcome at my well. You know, everybody's welcome at Jacob's well. You know, it's like, I don't have a problem talking to a Samaritan woman next to me, but if you leave the well without Christ that sits in it, you're going to thirst again. You know, that's, the well may be deep. Maybe I don't take myself too seriously on my show, but you're going to thirst again. You need, everybody has everything they need within already. God's in us. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You know? So I think that, you know, predicting is, it's whatever it is. I mean, I'm hoping the Broncos win the Super Bowl, and I'll tell you why. Okay? Because the Saints, it's the year of the fire horse, right? So it's the year of the fire horse coming up in the Chinese calendar. And in the book of Joel, the army of Joel that rises before them, this is where I got my cover from, for my novel, by the way. Before them is as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is as a desert wasteland. And if you notice, they cross from here across. It's actually, they're crossing the book. Like when you start reading this novel, this is the best novel ever. If you've ever read a novel, it's like you want to talk about the, this is a great novel, period. There, it's an allegory. And by the end of the story, you find out you're one of the characters. It's very cool. But the this is about the army of Joel waking up.
Description of this video.
Oh, yeah. It's called The Call. It's on Amazon. I mean, it has over like, it has like 1,100 five-star reviews. People really like it. It's a great. Not, it was the reason I started my YouTube channel was because I wrote the book. So the YouTube channel was supposed to get people to read the book. And it worked. So it's a very interesting time. So they're supposed to be in the book of Joel horses. They're like horses. The appearance of them is as horses. Christ comes riding a white horse. Get your clothes clean. It means a purified saint. And this is the year of the fire horse. The witnesses of God. I wear the shirt. This is from Revelation 11:11, right? But you know, 11:11 is also one of them codes that everybody sees. You know, it's a binary system. We're in a sim. So yeah, you're probably going to see repeating numbers.
My dad was 444 all the time.
That's another one I see quite a bit too. It's eerie sometimes. Sometimes I look at them and I'm like, yeah, I know. You know, like they mess with you.
Premiere every episode at 444 because of him saying that.
Very number. Cool. That's very cool. It's also a lot of pressure to get hit a deadline too.
Yeah. I think part of the predicting thing is it's less trying to be a prophetic person and more people recognize patterns. And if you're good enough at recognizing patterns, you're able to see what's happened in the past and what's coming in the future. It's the whole Solomon, you know, proverb. It's, you know, what was will be again, and there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
So through time, there's these rippling patterns, and that's why you see, just like you brought up earlier in the show, the slaughtering of infants and the infanticide.
Right.
And something profound. I was talking with some people online recently about, is in the book of 4th Ezra, it talks about kind of the state of Sheol being filled up. And once it's filled up, it spews forth its inhabitants. And whenever you think about Satan, what his timetable is, his timetable is the souls of men, because there's a set number of the souls of men that are to exist, at least in this sequence of reality. Mm. And so what's interesting is, why would Satan want to kill babies? The sand in his hourglass is the souls of mankind. Well, if you think about it, the infanticide comes in not only to justify prosperity in the people that give up their child, but if that child is kept from growing into old age and procreating themselves, it keeps the multiplicative effect of just people growing and growing in exponential number from actually being able to happen. Mm. So the infanticide is the base number of like slowing down the souls of mankind from filling up Sheol. And it's kind of interesting, because you see that pattern of infanticide come every several generations. And it makes you wonder, who are they trying to kill? Who are they trying to take out? And I think it's this pattern of, with every Jezebel, there's an Elijah. With every Moses, there's a Pharaoh. With every, you know, so it's the
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
There's this time period where these powerful souls of mankind seem to manifest on the world stage. And I think generally it's because you have the Almighty, his presence in general, drawing closer. And so what happens is, a line in the sand's drawn where reality becomes clearer. And that creates the propensity for true idolatry or true righteousness, because people aren't operating in ignorance. And so when that happens, it's like mankind is like a frequency. We're getting more in line with the frequency of the Creator. And if we willfully reject his ways, his instructions, our frequency becomes dissonant with him and his presence as he draws closer. And that's to the extreme that you see like the patterns of the tabernacle, where Moses is in the wilderness, and if you're literally unclean and you approach the holy place, you like drop dead on the spot. Like that's the extremity of when his full manifest presence is like right here on earth, dwelling in like a tabernacle. And I think the element of the biblical getting your garments ready and getting your garments clean and white is preparing for the holy presence of like the Creator of all, to come back, like, and so right now I think he kind of shields mankind in like a cloud of ignorance, because for generations people operate in ignorance, and there's always been this fine line of truth that's, I think originally the patriarchs passed down the truths of righteousness kind of patriarchally, like an inheritance, like you had it passed down through Enoch down to Noah, down to Shem, and then from Shem to Abraham, and Abraham down through the righteous line, till eventually Israel was supposed to be this kingdom of kings and priests to teach righteousness to the whole earth.
I work on a road called Portion Road. You know, and I've recently gone back to because, you know, when the virus of the crown hit and then they were going to do the mandates, you're not going to tell me what I can do. And it was like, Lord was already moving me into dedicating 100% into YouTube. I was doing, you know, relatively well. And so I've done that. Then I got into this car accident, which is ironic because it was, it took place at the Culper spy ring, which is a very famous spot. And I have this nonstop tinnitus, and like my whole life changed. So I have this nonstop noise, like right now, as I'm talking, it's loud. Right. And for a while it was tough to wrap my mind around it, because you lose high frequency hearing. And what happens is your mind then decides, since it can't reach that or hear that, it'll create it nonstop. And so I'm like, all right, Lord, why do you give me this? You know, I got enough. Achilles tendon snapped, been sick, I was abused, right? Mother was 19, never had a father, had a hard life. Like, wow, I'm 54 now, I'm doing everything right. And then boom. And then you know, things get harder on YouTube. And I'm like, you know what? God's like, go back to the beginning. Go back to when you started. So I went back to selling mattresses. I said, if only a new store would come and take over some of the old stores that I used to work at, because I'll never go back to work for a place that tells me that. And then out of the blue, boom, it happens. I get a call. You want to come out of retirement? I'm like the top guy. I was like, you know, so excited. But I work on Portion Road and I looked at that. And you were talking about the line of priests and everything else. And it's like, God willing, I hope that we have more people that want to serve God and do the right thing by others. But Jacob's portion was never wealth. It was never this or that. Jacob's portion was the Lord. That was what you get me. I'm going to, you know, the deal I made with God is the same deal that Jacob made in the old days. I have the ladder right behind me. Right. So, you know, I had the, you got it too, right?
Check this out. You're going to like this. You ever seen these?
Oh, I love those. I haven't seen that in years though.
Yeah. It was given to me by this amazing woman. She's one of the, she does a fantastic, interpretive like art book thing.
Cool.
She's all into Israel and Sylvia Halpert.
Wow. Yeah,
I don't know if you're familiar with her work, but no, she's a fantastic lady. Cool. But yeah, she gave me this, and it's a Jacob's ladder, and
I know, and it's endless.
Yeah,
right?
It's amazing.
I love it. It's amazing.
I don't have any Jeremiah things. I mean,
well, you know, I was thinking when I saw your name, I thought very much one. You know, it's you probably have a lot in common with Jeremiah. You know, we're given our name for a reason. Jake, you got the same name basically as me, right? I mean. For crying out loud, right? It's an interesting thing. There's nothing new under the sun, you know. So, but yeah. So that's my portion. That's it. But you know, I look at like I want to tell people this. You know, the plagues of Egypt, everything that happened. See, in the New Testament, we learn through Paul, and I know a lot of people like to discount Paul. That you know, like Agar and things that happen. You know, the mountain. Some of these things. Like the rock that was struck that produced the water. We learn in the New Testament that rock was Christ. It was not a literal rock. It wasn't a literal mountain. Jesus only spoke to people in parable. Only, you know? I mean, even to his disciples, it was rare that he spoke face to face. He had, because he knew that they were slow of understanding, you know? So I look at, you know, these things as happening in the natural, and then so that we can understand them in the spiritual. So like the death of the firstborn, for example, is one of the last plagues, right? Before Israel's set free. Well, the firstborn that dies is that first man, Adam's, where that accident took place, the first man. There's the first man, Adam. There's the last man, Christ. There's the man that takes upon himself basically the sins of the world by eating of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. The truth of who that Son of God is dies in that moment, and then physically lives for a lot longer. You know, he didn't physically die, because in scripture we learn to be carnally minded is death. So it's ignorance. That's why one of the plagues is darkness. Darkness. There's a plague that you know nothing, and that's a scary place to be. Paul was found himself in it, face down in the dirt. He was blind. He had to be brought to the straight path, right, by the prophet. I think it's Agabus or something is the name. He had to be brought. He was blind. In the beginning, you know, we think that we know it all. So many people today are, I mean, I talk to people all the time and I try to share the love of God. And, but it's hard if they think that God is a monster that gives you 80 or something years of life. And then if you don't hear of Jesus Christ and you don't get literally baptized in one of the many demon nations that say that you have to do it our way, you're going to end up being tortured and burned forever. As opposed to taking a second to do what you do, Jake, is look up what the words mean. The smoke of their torment rises up forever and ever for a period of time. Torment, basanios, it means it's a rough stone that you test precious metals with. You strike it against that stone to see how precious the metal is. It's a testing, salting of the fish. All of these stories are happening and people want to take them literally. They want to think that God's going to burn you and torture you endlessly. That's not the way it works. The word means to torment, to test the purity of. You're going to be put through the fire. Jesus said this to Peter. He said, the devil has inquired to sift you like wheat. You know, the devil asked. All of a sudden, what, the devil's got to ask? Yes, because God's in charge of everything. We can't fail. Everything works together for the good. The waster was created to waste. He's going to sift you like wheat, but don't worry. The gates of hell aren't going to prevail against you. This is going to happen to us. But when, you know, people, when they want to put everything, they want to make everything literal. I'll accept it as literal. But I also understand, you know, that the spiritual is what matters, because the letter kills. The literal interpretation of things kills, while the spirit gives life. You know, you look at Jesus, he was put to death at a place called Golgotha. Now, when you say Jesus described himself three ways, how did he describe himself? Well, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If we put those together and we say the way to truly live your life, where was the way to truly live your life put to death? The place of the skull called Golgotha. Right here, point to your temples. It's like a beautiful thing. But if there wasn't the literal, we would never understand the spiritual. You got to have the outward craziness of Trump saying, I'm going to build a ballroom that's going to look like it's out of Beauty and the Beast, and I'm going to hold up instructions, and it's going to look identical to Solomon's temple. And then I'm going to say, maybe we'll put the ark in there. There's an outward expression of what's happening. The ballroom is being built. What happens at ballrooms? Weddings. Weddings take place. Important meetings take place. Yep. It's going to put the ark there. It's happening now. He said it. People were under tents until then. The Ark of the Covenant was under a tent until the temple was built. We're the temple, but we're also the tent. We're the tabernacle. We're just being built stronger today. And it's literally happening in the world. It gets me very excited. So, I mean, we had dogs just dancing. That was in my video. Did you see dogs dancing? But people don't realize how significant that is. That was for the Humane Society. But it gives us a picture. They are outside the temple dancing. You get what I'm saying? It's like a picture for us. I feel like we're in the best time, Jake.
Oh yeah, for sure. I wanted to tell you about something I found recently that connects the very words of Christ, of Yeshua, to Jacob and Esau and the prophecy of their birth.
Oh yeah.
And you're gonna like this one because you're, you know, obviously Jacob, right?
I'm Jacob.
So when you look at the words in the prophecy that was given to the mother of Jacob and Esau, it says that two nations are in your womb struggling, and the elder in our English Bibles, the elder will serve the lesser. And then what happens? They have, you know, she births twins, right? And one is Esau, one is Jacob. So when you look at the Hebrew there, there's actually a Hebrew lingual thing that hints that the meaning of that verse can be flip-flopped, because the word for the elder is Rav in Hebrew, and Rav is the root for rabbi or teacher or great one. Okay, and then what is the word for lesser? It says the Rav will serve the Sa'ir in Hebrew. And so here's where it gets interesting, right? We always read that and interpreted, okay, the elder, Esau, will serve the lesser, Jacob. Yeah. Well, yes, Jacob takes the blessing, and Esau is prophesied to be his servant. Mm-hmm. But you can also render the verse that because Jacob was the servant of all, he was the great one. He was the teacher of the family.
Oh.
And because what happened is Jacob served Esau, he served Isaac, he served Laban.
Right.
And so
I'm a good cook too.
Yeah, he was a good cook. So, and also the word for lesser, or what we've in our English translated as the younger, the Seir, where did Esau go to live? Mount Seir. Not
right,
only that,
right.
The Hebrew word for Seir is very lingually close to hairy. The word Seir and
Which
Seir.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So Esau was the hairy one. It makes me wonder if that's how Jacob's mother identified him as the chosen one to receive that inheritance of the portion of Yah, because he was the servant. And so what were the words of Christ?
That's abortion, right? That's cool.
Yeah, you know, Yeshua goes, it's not like, you know, the other nations do. The greatest of all will be servant of the least.
Yeah.
Least, you know, if you serve the least among you, that's what you do to me, right? And so if you flip that verse, that prophecy in Genesis now becomes a prophetic echo of what Christ himself is telling his disciples is to be servant of everyone. To be the great one, to be the Rav, to be the teacher, you got to serve everyone. And so it's just a beautiful, you know, connection to, you know, your, you know, some of your Jacob thoughts.
You know, there are these two men, and I want to, you're going to like this. There's these two men in scripture. Okay. So Adam has two sons. So it's a picture of like, within all of us, there are two nations as well. There's like, you know, the id and the superego. You got, you know, the God mind. You got the Antichrist mind. He has two sons, Cain and Abel. The firstborn, Cain, comes out. He's a hunter. He's a killer. He ends up killing Abel, Cain and Abel. Firstborn is a killer. Abel was a shepherd. Then you have Abraham. He has two sons. His first son was born of a slave. It wasn't even, you know, it wasn't, you know, God ordained. It was out of wedlock. And he was a hunter. He was a killer. Right. And they had to get rid of him because they knew if they didn't get rid of Ishmael, that the kingdom of God would be in trouble. You got to get rid of that first killing nature, that, you know, that Ishmael nature, or else. Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac has two sons. You have Esau and Jacob. Jacob was the second born. You have the firstborn, the second born. You have the first Adam, you have the last Adam. Jacob, he's smooth all over. Esau, which means red, hairy, hairy all over. What's hair is the, if you look at a microscope, we are covered in hair. Like every part of our body has hair. The outward most, except, Opa. I got here. I just didn't want to have to do it tonight. So, you know, the hairy one, the glory of a woman is her hair. That's the glory of the soul. So hair is symbolic of your soulish nature. The killing nature, the soulish nature, the one that I'm in charge. Firstborn, secondborn, hairy all over. Then you got Jacob. And then you got Joseph has two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh, the first part of Joseph's life was miserable. He was put down. He was a slave. He was beaten. It was horrible. Manasseh literally means like my life sucked. That's basically the way I look at it. Manasseh is Joseph's first part of his life sucked. Ephraim means like fruitful, second born. When he brings Manasseh and Ephraim to his father to bless, who does blind Jacob bless? Not the firstborn. Because in the tradition, it was always the firstborn that got the covenant, right? Esau didn't get it. Ishmael didn't get it, okay? And he puts his hand on Manasseh. You go all the way through scripture. You have firstborn, secondborn. You have Leah. You have Rachel. She was the older, firstborn, less desirable. Then you got Rachel. All the way down to where Jesus comes on the scene, and he says, unless you be born again. Now we understand what that means. Because the first me was a killer. I was killing the spirit of God. You know, I didn't even think that what I did to other people, I was doing to God. But the second me, the Christ in me, the second man is, if you're earthly, you're of the earth. If you're heavenly, you're of the heavens, right? So the first man is of the earth, earthy, soulish. The second is from heaven above. And heaven, the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy, and power in God. So you're right when you say that there are these two, and I love the fact that it's connected to what, you know, connected to Jesus. I didn't even think about that or know that. That's a very cool thing. But there are these two people. That's what I mean when I say to people, you got to be born again. It doesn't mean I go get dunked, because, you know, even baptism isn't what, you know, it's, I was baptized a million times. Baptizo means immersion. People are being baptized right now by listening to your channel. You know, this is what, you know, is the flowing of the water, which is the word of God, which is where everybody's going to Madrid, you know?
Yeah. Just the last thought on Jacob and Esau is, you know, Esau, according to the rabbis, was the most wicked man in all of Scripture. I don't know if you've heard this.
I have. Yeah.
It very. I mean, the justification for why
Jacob was so scared of him.
Esau was the most wicked because he was shown the righteous ways of his father Isaac, and he chose to willfully turn his back on the ways of the Almighty and do his own ways.
Right.
And so why is this different from the wickedness of ignorance? It's, you know, Pharaoh had his gods, he had his system of belief, but he believed sincerely in his system, you know, even if that was in himself, right?
Right.
But Esau knew the truth and turned from it. So whenever we talk about what's happening in the modern age, the apocalypse doesn't mean the end of the world. The apocalypse means the unveiling.
Right, unveiling.
And so as truth, as we enter into this Daniel's age of knowledge increasing and men going to and fro, we enter into this environment of the simulation, I guess you could say, where people start to figure out the truth of reality, the truth that there is a creator, that there is divine laws, that there is righteousness, that there is, you have to have a system of salvation. How do you reconcile imperfect man to a perfect creator? And so as people recognize this, it draws a line in the sand in reality. And that's why you see all the curses of Revelation start to play out, because it's the same system that was happening in Egypt. With the
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Children of Israel, is all the Egyptians had to face the fact that they had been following a false system and that they were all in blatant idolatry. And so as soon as somebody becomes aware of their sin, that's when the judgment of the Almighty falls on them. That's what conviction is from, like, the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
When you are aware of your transgression and your state, and you become aware, oh, wow, there is a so that's when you start to see the judgments of Revelation falling on the whole world, because everybody wakes up to the fact that there is a creator and there is a system that we've been lulled to sleep by Babylon. You know, and we, you know, you know, maybe you could speak to just, you know, some of your thoughts.
Cause well, you know, what popped into my head when you were talking was because you mentioned the word conviction. And I said, that's funny, because there was a time when I was convicted of things that now I know I shouldn't even have been convicted about. It was just religious nonsense that was thrown on me. So, you know, in the book of Revelation, they talk about the Antichrist. Okay. And the Antichrist stands in the temple of God. So I try to tell people to remember that they're the temple of God. Okay. And even just understanding what the Antichrist is, it's easiest way for people is to understand Christ would be power and wisdom of love. Antichrist would be the exact opposite, you know, screw them, you know, and they both appear before the throne of God. And because the throne of God is really our mind, if you think about it, even in Scripture, it describes it like it's rounded in the back, and it, you know, it has like the 12 elders, right? And you have like 12 sets of, you know, two pairs of 12 cranial nerves, 24 elders, you know, it's like in the physical, just when I start talking about this, I get excited. But in the book of Revelation, there comes like a second beast. So the first beast that comes out of the sea, okay, is, and man, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes and other books, you find that man is a brute beast. Nebuchadnezzar was a brute beast. We are beasts until we are resurrected with Christ, okay? So you got that first beast, then you got another beast who rises. And this is, you know, this one is a little bit different from the first. If I remember correctly, correct me. He kind of looks like a lamb or something, you know, has horns, something like that, but he talks like a dragon. The second beast that rises within us is that religious man that comes in, right? Disguised as this is, but it's another one. It feeds your ego. You know, you go to church, anybody who, those Muslims are terrible. The Hindus, they're going to burn. That's the second beast right there. You don't even know it. You don't even know it. It rises because the first, this is what happens. You get tricked. The ego, the carnal mind is a very tricky thing. So, you know, when you look at the book of Revelation and you understand all of this was the revelation to John within him on the Isle of Patmos, that whole book happened in him. And he was expressing, this is the revelation of God. There's going to be, you know, that first nature that pops up in us is yucky. It's terrible, you know, but then we'll get convicted. Then all of a sudden, but another beast will rise up in its place. It's going to look a little different. This is what's happening with us. It's a beautiful thing. When people start to wake up, it's a beautiful thing. Imagine if people start to love, imagine if people start to be kind. Imagine if the system becomes fair, you know. I sold a pillow the other day and I gave him the wrong price at first. And it was like a lot higher. And I said, oh, good news. It's like $129. And the person believed I gave them a huge discount. I did. They just came in to buy a pillow. But then they called me back. They're like, well, you didn't give me a discount. I'm like, oh no, I put the wrong one on. Blah, blah. I said, oh, and I realized it's like, I can make the person happy or I could say whatever. And I was like, let me give you a big discount. I'm sorry that you felt that way. Sometimes, you know, our ego will be like, you know what? You know that she thinks she's getting a big discount. By the way, I discount more than anybody else because I do YouTube too. So I can do that. That's the reason why I'm successful. A lot of people can't. A lot of people don't discount. Somebody comes in for a pillow, you just buy a pillow. I gave it to her half off because I knew that she thought in her heart in the moment that I was giving her this big discount, she really liked me. But really, I made a mistake and I just didn't let her know. Oh, I didn't give you a discount at all. I just let her to believe that, you know? And so that's, it sneaks up. You gotta be on your game. You gotta always, every day, you gotta test the spirits. People are like, what are spirits? Jesus said, my words are spirit. They are thoughts, you know? So you gotta judge them. You gotta test them to see whether or not they are of God.
Yeah, a personal application of the Book of Revelation is extremely interesting and nuanced. Like, you don't often hear people explain that you could look at the Book of Revelation as like a personal kind of narrative. And if you kind of entertain that thought, it's as if we all in our life at some point experience the Antichrist and experience our individualized.
Everybody takes the mark
of the beast.
And, people, you know, don't realize this. Listen,
wow, that's fascinating.
Everybody, listen though. The scripture says all take the mark. People like, oh, it's going to be a tattoo. It's going to be this. Like I've been telling people for years. The scripture says everyone, both small and great. What's the mark? What is a mark? A mark is a distinguishing, you know, feature about something. So if I look at, like, I listened to one video about Andrew Tate. I see the Antichrist. There's the mark of the Antichrist. Maybe I turn over here and I hear Jeremiah talking. I don't see the mark of the Antichrist. I see someone who has got compassion and hope. The mark is put on the hand and the head. In scripture, your works and your thoughts. You know, this is where it is. I mean, it's 666. It's the number of man. You know, some people like, oh, it's carbon, because it is. But, you know, so I try to, it's all about within. The kingdom of heaven is within, you know, it's, I'm telling people now, try to stop worrying so much about what's happening outside of you. Really focus now on, you know, what's within your heart. You know, these are the things that we should focus on. But the Book of Revelation does say very clearly that all this happens to every man. This is not like to some people. There's the sifting that's going to take place. There's the wheat and the tares. There's the sheep and the goats, you know, and people look at it like, well, you know, some people are going to be tortured endlessly and the others are going to make it. As opposed to where I see it, I see that within both of us, the master says, let them grow up together. Because if you look at a tear, it grows and it looks very much like wheat. You know, you could think that condemning a Muslim in the name of God or something, that looks like a religious thing if you don't know any better, if you don't have wheat that's produced in you. Because a tare can look a lot like wheat until it's fully mature. Then you could see it stands up and it's proud. Doesn't wheat, when it has all the seed in its head, that means life-giving words, right? That's what it is. That's why Jesus said if one seed dies, it's going to produce many. Not one, many. Who's that many? Who is the literal body of Christ that Jesus literally will return it? The literal body of Christ is supposed to be us. We're given the name of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We're supposed to put on the mind of Christ. You have the name, you are the body, and you have the mind. And if people look at you and they don't see Christ, they see the mark of the beast easily distinguished in the land. But the good news is all that's going to be burned away. because even hell and the Antichrist and the false prophet, lies can't exist in the truth for only a little bit of time, right? The truth ultimately exists, and the truth sets you free. What does the truth set you free from? Lies. What are demons? The father of all lies, a demon, a messenger, a devil. If it's the father of all lies, there's no truth in the devil. It's a false system. If it's going to open its mouth and flood the earth, and water is a symbolic, you know, representation of doctrine, teaching, words, it's flooding the earth with lies. This is what's happened. The earth is so filled with lies, we don't even know. I even made a little joke about AI being like the frogs of Revelation, because you know how they use the frog meme for AI? But like, the frog, there are three major frog companies that come out of the mouth of the dragon, these three frogs, right? And they get into every aspect of your life. And it's crazy, but it could be like, you know, like AI is, you have these three companies. You have Meta, which means death. You have X, which is the Tav, which is the 22, which is the symbol of the cross. And then you have OpenAI. And you have these three major AIs, and they've flooded the earth with lies, with deceit. You don't even know what's real anymore.
Yeah, I wanted to mention earlier when you were mentioning trans story time. There, to me, it was part of the bullwhip effect of how the Hegelian dialectics used to get what they actually want into place by over pushing a certain agenda.
Yes. Yeah.
And then when you move the marker back, but it's still dialed up a little bit, people don't notice. And right. So to me, what that was they recognized that AI was coming, that they wanted AI to teach our children. And so what do they do? They go, okay, well, if we put somebody in drag and go in there and make them act like a fairy princess dragon, we'll say, oh, that's not okay because it's a man in costume. But if it's an actual fairy princess dragon, as according to Grok's interpretive character AI or whatever, then it's going to be totally okay because that's cool. That's who we want reading our children's storybooks, right? And so what we do is we pushed the envelope back. We're like, okay, no, it can't be men, you know, dressed up as unicorns, but it can be a AI unicorn. And so what we do is we give the keys to the kingdom of our children to the, you know, this talking, you know, not walking yet, but soon to be, you know, being.
We're already walking around. They already have bodies. They're walking around. They're doing all sorts of labor. Yeah. Doing all sorts of...
You know, they're, man, those robots are getting crazy.
Elon said the singularity is here already. You know, I wouldn't doubt it. You know, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, look, once a quantum computer went online, it could create out of the data that's been collected, it could create billions of simulations just like this, and we would think that we were real. You know, there's a great Black Mirror episode about it. I don't care where we are. You know, Jesus went to the place of the dead. Okay. So I tell people, think about this for a second, because spirit doesn't matter. You know, we could be in a sim. Does that mean anything? We could be AI. You know, we could be information that's been, you know, was stored of a life past, then mixed with AI. And we could be a sandbox for some people that are, you know, trying to rehash the old days or something. Who knows? But it doesn't matter, because Jesus came to the place of the dead to release those captives there free. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was of this world, and people misinterpret this, you know, there'd be like an army of angels would come and like destroy you. Because in this world, that's the way you do things. In this world, you kill people. But my kingdom's not of this world. If it was of this world, you'd be in trouble. I'm not of this world. I'm in it. Just like if I play a VR game, right? I could be in the VR. I could be in the sim, but I'm not of it, right? And so even if we were AI, guess what? Adam was AI at one point until God put his spirit, which is thought, ultimately thought, right? You don't think that God is all in all? I do. So none of this stuff scares me. It just gets me excited. And I got to tell you, I have a feeling that things are going to get better. And I feel like what we put out there matters. Like, I believe that if our thoughts can sow some faith of a mustard seed, you could say to the sycamore tree, be cast into. I've been doing this for a long time. I put these little tests out. So if you ever want to go to my page at JacobIsrael71, you'll get a kick out of this, right? Test complete. And you'll see all these things that I said, oh, this is going to happen. Test. Testing. Then I'll write test complete. I'm trying to stretch my spiritual muscles. And I'm sharing that journey with everybody online and my YouTube channel and everything else, because I'm not special. I'm just like you.
It's awesome.
You know, we're all the same. We just, how many people are seeking? Nobody wanted to go to the mountain. God said, send everybody to the mountain. They're like, nah, you go, Moses. You tell us what to do later. And then they got, you know, manipulated and seduced by Janice and Jombries. Next thing you know, they're giving them all their money and worshiping some stupid golden looking, you know, calf, which is dumb.
Well, I know I've asked you on the phone call, but like, we would love to have you at TrutherCon 2026. I know that you may or may not be able to make it, but
I would. First of all, I told you yesterday on the phone, and this is without knowing any of you really. But once again, intuition, you got to listen to your heart. You got to listen to, like, when I spoke to you on the phone, I feel like, and now I'm talking to you, you've been so respectful and so nice. And I ramble. I'm not feeling that great right now. So I'm, you know, doing my best. I want to be a part of it for sure. And I probably will be, especially because you said it's in Texas, correct?
Yeah, Dallas.
That's my old company, Daystar, is in Bedford. So
all the churches are out here, man.
Yeah. So I would love to go, you know, not just to meet everybody and to share, because, you know, I wanted it to be last year, but it didn't happen. Things got in the way, but I really do want to start going around. And I want to start meeting people and talking. So I love the fact that I'm back, meet like people when they come into my store. Now they don't know really who I am. And I get to minister to them, and I get to, you know, I've had people cry on me. I've had, you know, everything from, you know, helping a marriage that's going through divorce. It's like, this is like, I would love to do this with a lot of people. I would love to share my experience. So yeah, I'm definitely down, and I'll tell people about it regardless if I can. And I just never know how things are. I got four children, you know, I got a job that sometimes we have blackout dates. We can't go, you know, and I hope people subscribe to my channel though on YouTube.
Yeah. I mean,
really do.
I was going to bring up censorship, and then you had told me this morning, like, something happened to your YouTube.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
I want everybody to go and subscribe to your channel.
Oh, thank you. So. Thank you. Everybody subscribe to yours as well, just in case I re-air this.
All right. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for coming on Skiba News Nation. And you're welcome anytime.
Oh, thank you.
We'd love to have you back.
Sometimes, you know, a lot of things are connected, so you have to kind of check all the different connected dots before the message gets across. Yeah. So we really appreciate, you know, we think very similar. So thank you for your thoughts.
Yeah. Like-minded people. It's wild. Like, I didn't expect to see, you know, what great, like, I learned some, I rarely learn things. So I learned something, and I'm going to go and I'm going to be looking into Balaam's kids, and I'm going to, you know, I'm like, I had no idea, because I love that story. You know what I mean? Like, in life, what a great lesson. How many times are you trying to do something and something's slowing you down? You get upset. Like, I got to get this out there. Sometimes you're being slowed down for a reason. You know, why are you going to beat up the donkey? We're the donkey, by the way. We're the donkey. We're the ass that Jesus rides in on. You know, he comes in a white horse. He comes, you know, like lightning cracking the earth in two. It's all, he comes. That word come in Greek means, it's erkame. It means to be very much like an apocalypse. It means to be revealed, to be manifest. Like, if I have a blanket on me and I take the blanket away, I erkame, I've come, you know? So he's going to come again. But Christ has never left. God's never left. He's never forsaken us. So people could have hope. And God bless you, and thank you for having me on. And I love everybody in your audience, and I can't wait to see the comments and say hi.
We love you back. So thank you.
I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
If you like what we do here on Skiba News Nation, please like and subscribe. And also share with others so we can grow the biggest truth-seeking community on the internet. Huge shout out to all of our Patreons out there. If you like bonus content, you want some extra Skiba News Nation stuff, please go to patreon.com/Skiba News Nation.
Buckle Nelson in here. Now I'm going to
the son of the legendary Rob Jeremiah Skeeble.
It's like they don't even want to wake up.
He's on a quest for truth.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.